tilted her head up in an obvious request. Instead of the kiss Ellie clearly expected, Prospero lifted Ellie's hand to her lips and kissed the air above her knuckles. No touching, no kissing, and certainly, absolutely nothing else. Ellie scowled. Surely the headmaster wouldn't object to, he is busy with his bride and the students and dozens of things, Prospero explained lightly. Those details, of course, were all true. They were not the whole truth, however. One learned to twist words when overt lies were not options. We had last night, Ellie. Right, the night I fell asleep waiting for you, Ellie snapped. Exactly the honeymoon I dreamed of. You know who I am, Ellie. I have obligations to Crenshaw. Ellie frowned. I'm not sure why I married you. I see. Prospero flinched. She'd made Ellie's memory alteration in a crude manner, leaving behind their few date-like moments, but erasing the meeting with the Congress of Magic, the escape, anything with Maggie or Monahan. There hadn't been time to sort through each memory slowly when Ellie's aunt, the headmaster, the other escapee, and Monahan were all present. With such massive deletions, the brain would fill in the gaps with conclusions. However, in barely a day, Ellie was already questioning the parts left behind after Prospero's crude memory erasures. I feel like I should have met the headmaster's wife, Ellie frowned. She's a remedial witch too, right? Margie? Same group as me? Maggie. Maybe you didn't notice her. There are hundreds of witches who didn't catch your attention. Prospero stepped back, giving Ellie more space. I noticed you. Ellie flashed a flirtatious smile at her and reached out to catch Prospero's hand. What if you stayed in my room tonight? Remind me why I'm your wife. Prospero's morals recoiled. Ellie tugged on her hand, pulling her off balance. Ellie, the same woman who said she'd rather die than be a witch, would not want any affection from Prospero, and she certainly wouldn't want to be married to her. Prospero sounded every bit the uptight Victorian she had once been as she retorted, Truly, I must go. Any further words died as Ellie leaned forward and kissed her to silence. Prospero's lips parted reluctantly as Ellie pulled her closer. Prospero's good sense considered fleeing at the feel of the woman she wanted, becoming pliant and very eager to stay in her arms. Which I don't deserve. Prospero detangled herself. Good night, Ellie. Then she turned and walked away. Apparently, she couldn't trust herself to kiss Ellie. Not if she was to be tangentially ethical. No more kisses. No more anything. After she left Ellie, Prospero strode through the castle hall and into the main foyer. A few witches gave her curious looks, and some of the staff looked away as if she were a monster they had stumbled upon. She straightened her spine and exited the front of the castle to head toward Lord Scylla's home. Scylla was one of the few witches she was likely to call a friend. They had no subterfuge between them, so it was no surprise to receive her summons that morning. When Scylla's door drifted open, Prospero found herself in one of the most nondescript spaces in all of Crenshaw. The room was what Scylla called open concept, which, as far as Prospero could see, meant empty. No interior walls dividing rooms, minimal furniture. From any position, a person could see everything other than the toilet and washing area. And what Prospero saw was Cassandra, Madam and Seer of Crenshaw, sitting there, waiting. Until recently, she was one of Prospero's most trusted allies. Since Cass was in Scylla's home, Prospero realized that the decision to meet here was a strategic move. Cassandra was banned from so much as approaching Prospero's house,